too. I was partway through reading that when I was kicked out. That's the latest edition, she said proudly. There's new engravings and a section on the Fame What. I ran my fingers down the book's spine and stepped back. It's a nice collection. Well, she said teasingly, if you promise to keep your hands clean, you could come over and do some reading now and again. If you bring your lute and play for me, I might even let you borrow a book or two, so long as you bring them back in a timely fashion. She gave me a winsome smile. We exiles should stick together. I spent the long walk back to the university, wondering if Devi was being flirtatious or friendly. At the end of the 3 miles, I hadn't reached anything resembling a decision. I mention this to make something clear. I was clever, a burgeoning hero, with an alar like a bar of Ramsden steel. But first and foremost, I was a 15-year-old boy. When it came to women, I was lost as a lamb in the woods. I found Kilvin in his office, etching runes into a hemisphere of glass for another hanging lamp. I knocked softly on the open door. He glanced up at me.
Well, of course you're looking better.
It took me a moment to remember that he was speaking of 3 span ago when he banned me from my work at the fishery due to Willem's meddling. Thank you, sir, I feel better. He cocked his head minutely. I lowered one hand to my purse. I would like to resolve my debt to you. Kilvin grunted.
You owe me nothing.
He looked back down at the table and the project in his hands. My debt to the shop, then, I pressed. I've been taking advantage of your good nature for some time now. How much do I owe for the materials I've used during my studies with Manet? Kilvin continued to work.
1 talent, 7 jorts, and 3.
The exactness of the number startled me, as he hadn't checked the ledger in the storeroom. I boggled to think of everything the bear-like man was carrying around in his head. I took the appropriate amount from my purse and set the coins on a relatively clutter-free corner of the table. Kilvin looked at them.
Elir Koth, I trust you came to this money honorably.
His tone was so serious I had to smile. I earned it playing in Imre last night.
Music across the river pays us well.
I held my smile and shrugged nonchalantly. I don't know if I'll do this well every night. This was only my first time after all. Kilvin made a sound somewhere between a snort and a huff and turned his eyes back to his work.
Ilksadal's pridefulness is rubbing off on you.
He drew a careful line on the glass.
Am I correct in assuming that you will no longer be spending evenings in my employ?
Shocked, it took me a moment to catch my breath. I wouldn't. I came here to speak with you about coming back to work in a shop. The thought of not working for Kilvin hadn't crossed my mind.
Apparently your music has more profit than working here.
Kilvin gave the coins on the table a significant look. But I want to work here, I said wretchedly. Kilvin's face broke into a great white smile.
Good. I would not have wanted to lose you to the other side of the river. Music is a fine thing, but metal lasts.
He struck the table with 2 huge fingers to emphasize his point. Then he made a shooing motion with the hand that held his unfinished lamp.
Whoa! Do not be late for work, or I will keep you polishing bottles and grinding ore for another term.
As I left, I thought about what Kilvin had said. It was the first thing he had said to me that I did not agree with wholeheartedly. Metal rusts, I thought. Music lasts forever. Time will eventually prove one of us right. After I left the fishery, I headed straight to the Horse and Four, arguably the best inn this side of the river. The innkeeper was a bald, portly fellow named Cavern. I showed him my talent pipes and bargained for a pleasant 15 minutes. The end result was that in exchange for playing 3 evenings a span, I received free room and board. The Four's kitchens were remarkable, and my room was actually a small suite, bedroom, dressing room, and sitting room, a huge step up from my narrow bunk in the mews. But best of all, I would earn 2 silver talents every month, an almost ridiculous sum of money to someone who had been poor for as long as I had. And that was in addition to whatever gifts or tips the wealthy customers might give me. Playing here, working in the fishery, and with a wealthy patron on the horizon, I'd no longer be forced to live like a pauper. I'd be able to buy things I desperately needed, another suit of clothes, some decent pens and paper, new shoes. If you have never been desperately poor, I doubt you can understand the relief I felt. For months, I'd been waiting for the other shoe to drop, knowing that any small catastrophe could ruin me. But now I no longer had to live every day worrying about my next term's tuition or the interest on Debbie's loan. I was no longer in danger of being forced out of the university. I had a lovely dinner of venison steak with a leaf salad and a bowl of delicately spiced tomato soup. There were fresh peaches and plums and white bread with sweet cream butter. Though I didn't even ask for it, I was served several glasses of an excellent dark vintage wine. Then I retired to my rooms, where I slept like a dead man, lost in the vastness of my new feather bed.